The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
This is Velvet 478, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Advanced. I've leveled up. I've ascended. When it comes to the gaming consoles, I have finally reached the next level. I've gone next gen. I have peaked at this moment in time. Yes, my friends, your boy Jay Santy has finally gotten himself a PS5. I know. Thank you. It's been a long time coming, ladies and gentlemen. It was a pain in the fucking ass to find. I wasn't going to go through eBay on any of these swindlers on other apps and such that sell at, you know, the selling, buying, selling, trade and shit like that. I wasn't going to go through all that rigmarole and such. It was funny because I saw that GameStop was posting that they were going to have PS5s, but usually it's like 5, and then there's a line around the corner of 20. So it's like, you know, you're not going to get it. I'm not even going to fucking try. So I looked at this other side in which I have a credit line with. And I said, let me put PS5. Let me see what it is. And it came up that they had it. And I said, holy shit. And I didn't really want the combo. I didn't care for it. I was like, I don't want to go through all that shit. But they had the combo. And, well, you know, with that, you know, two controllers, headset, game, gift card, all that, and all the spiel that goes with it. It was roughly around the same price where everybody else was selling for them shits. Those deluxe fucking packages and shit. So I was like, hey, might as well can jump on board and grab it now. You ever been so excited about something that you've ordered that you're just checking the fucking tracking every hour on the hour, especially for that shit? You never know what the fuck can happen. I heard stories where people had ordered a PS5, and when they got it, they opened up the box and it was fucking cans of tomatoes in it and shit. You never know what can happen. So I was just making sure that I was on top of it. Finally, the day that they said it was coming, I had gotten out of work and I was like, okay, let me catch a couple of Z's because usually UPS comes around this time. So it's all right. Woke up and I immediately went to the tracker and it says delivered. What? Now my neighbors, they're really cool. We always look out for each other. You know, if any packages come, we always hold each other's packages because you never know in this fucking neighborhood. So we hold each other's package. And I opened up the door and the fucker was there. It was 1 o'clock that it was delivered. And I opened up the door to see that it's there. And it was 2:30 that I woke up and this shit was there. Like, these motherfuckers is crazy. Luckily it was, in a box, in a package. Like it didn't just say fucking PS5 on it. But, you know, it did have a sticker that said electrical. You know, so people could have been like, something of value might have been in there, wanted to grab that shit. These motherfuckers is crazy. What I should have did was claim that I never got it and just fucking got another one. But thankfully, yes, I am in the next gen world, next gen console. I actually want to take a vacation just to spend time with it. I want to. My mother's like, fuck, how many fucking video game systems you have? I was like, mind your business. Mind your business. When I look at it, I have the PS5, Xbox One, two PS4s. Don't even ask how that happened. A PS3. Nintendo 64, a Wii, Dreamcast, those little mini console things, the PS1s and the Super Nintendo, I have those, the Switch. Yeah, that's just ridiculous. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I got my own fucking New York and VGNY, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing over here. But I have it, though. See, once I get a bigger place, my whole shit is just going to be that. I'm just going to have all my consoles just in one shelf and just display it. It'll be there. But now with the PS5, it's just like, it's monstrous. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I'm your host, Mr. Ear to the Mat, the King of Talk Style, and as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jada Red Santé. Be sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the like and group page on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram at Turnbuckle Tab, as well as on Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. And always be sure to check us out on YouTube and on TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. YouTube has been, I've been going to there. I'm using it a little bit more. Also on Twitch, we're on Turnbuckle Tabloid. Make sure I check that out. You guys check it out as well. We're on Twitch at Turnbuckle Tabloid as well. Be sure you check us out on all the streaming outlets for podcasting, iHeart, Google Play, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, wherever the fuck you can find podcasting. That's where we at. We're everywhere, guys. So make sure you check us out there. If not, you could always go to RageWorksNetwork.com. RageWorksNetwork.com has all things relevant to the world of RageWorks. You have Black is the New Black, Toys and Tech, Trek Untold, much, much more, guys. You could always check us out at RageWorksNetwork.com and always check out the fam at RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net has everything connected under the sun to the world and culture that we live by. Video games, movies, TV shows, comic books, it's all there. Toys, hobbyists, it's all there for you guys to enjoy. So check out the family with the reviews, previews, contests, all things connected to the culture. RageWorksNetwork.com. RageWorks.net. We do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is. As I sip on my ginger ale after my recovery from the night before. I'm actually celebrating because I had some good wins last night in my bets. I'm making some bets. I'm telling you, New York City cannot complain at all about being broke. This the gambling situation in New York has pretty much lined its pockets with fucking with the ability to pay off some of New York's finest tax credits and tax parks departments or fucking transit, whatever, because everybody I know is betting. Everybody has the betting apps. I've switched over. I've not used Caesars in a while. I'm now on FanDuel. FanDuel is much easier to me. I get my money quicker. And so far, so good. I'm still playing with house money. That's a good thing for it. So, other than that, everything is just kosher. Everything is just what it is these days, man. Possibilities of approaching for work wise. Hopefully, that some opportunities open up because I can't be dealing with psych patients for not much longer. Nope. No. I'm getting older. Birthday's coming up soon. I'm a year older, more vintage, and body starts taking a toll here and there and shit. So, not gonna be able to do this shit for too long. Although many may believe that I'm still in my early 30s. That's what I tell myself, but I don't feel any older than 65. Let's just say that. But yeah, Hopefully for everybody else, you guys are doing the same. Hopefully you guys are getting opportunities your way and take advantage of what is out there for you and what life has to offer, because you never know when it's gone. So this week, ladies and gentlemen, much to talk about. The major releases that occurred in WWE this past week. We also have breakups, controversies. We have another instances of possible cancel culture and much, much more going down on Wrestling Rundown. We also have an Around the Square Circle, what we watch, what we listen to, what we partook in wrestling this week. Let's just say that title changes occurred, title changes hands this week, and same old bullshit. Numbers are dropping ratings-wise, and yeah, it looks like people are falling out of love with wrestling, but let's see how that goes. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We will return with more. Check you guys in a sec.
Are you shy? Have you ever wanted to deliver a special message to that special someone, but have been too shy to do it? Well, that all changes today, as Turnbuckle Tabloid presents WrestleGram. Turnbuckle Tabloid gets for you wrestlers from in the ring and in the grave to send personal messages to your special someones for any special occasion you have to offer. Here's an example of our program as Ultimate Warrior sends a special message for Lisa's 8th grade graduation.
The Ultimate Warrior has learned that you are going to be going up to the next level in your education. The moons, the stars, the sun, and all rainbows have aligned to make you the smarter, the bigger, and more aligned genius than you are. Take it to the next level of your education. The Ultimate Warrior knows how it to be the highest level of the next being. The next being comes from within. You are the strongest of the strong, the best of the best, the best of the best of the best of the best, and also the best of the best of the best, and even the best of the best of other than the best. The Ultimate Warrior understands what it feels like to earn your degree. The higher learning. The heavenly powers, the knowledge of mind, of those of being, of those of being, of those of being, being of those of being of those. The Ultimate Warrior knows how to be smart. Congratulations on your graduation.
Here's another example of Russell Graham as Drew McIntyre receives a special request from a friend complaining about his displeasure from another friend in the club.
Yeah, who it is?
Hello, is this John?
Yeah, what up?
What's going on, buddy? This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre here to tell you about your experience last night in the club.
Okay.
I was paid $5.99 to tell you that you were a dirty piece of shit last night and that you blew off your friend for pussy.
What?
Do you want me to claymore you in the fucking face? You heard me.
Yes, alright.
Why did you abandon your friend last night?
Okay, I gotta go.
Is this good enough? Alright, listen, man. Fuck off. Get the fuck out of here.
Are you tired of the same old political telemarketers? Recommend WrestleGram so you can get phone calls like this.
Hey, people from Phillip County, West Virginia. This is Jesse the Body Ventura, former governor of Minnesota. Make sure you go out and vote for Charles R. Dealey. Charles R. Dealey, the man who knows what your county needs. Charles R. Dealey is the man who is recognized for his love of the county, love for the people, and a love for farm animals. Do not think about his charge of sexual misconduct with goats. That was 20 years ago and does not really consider anything that's really connected to what's going on in this day and age. Charles R. Dealey for your county. This is Jesse the Body Ventura, former governor of Minnesota.
You could buy a WrestleGram today for a friend, a loved one, an associate, or any other scumbag in your life that you care for. WrestleGram, the wrestling audio greeting card.
WrestleGram, each audio is $2.99 per serving, and also an additional $5.99 for anything outside of the United States and Puerto Rico area. WrestleGram, a promotion paid for and distributed by Turnbuckle Tabloid.
It's Joey Styles, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
It's Wrestling Rundown with Jay Santee. Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Jesus effing Christ, is not a day for me, especially when it comes to this new newfangled shit that we do. New camera. I don't know if you guys can even tell. I have a new camera. It highlights all my beauty. But yeah. It's been one of those days. So as I mentioned before you guys can hear it, I want to give a big shout out to my boy Slow, aka Smack. It's a young man. Not as young as he used to be. He used to be very, very much a ladies' man, as I can say. But still a ladies' man. Could be out there if he wants to. But no, he's a good man. But caught up with my boy today. We had a couple of beers at the local pub. And it's always beautiful to catch up with him because, like I said, in life, it's not many individuals that you have and you hold near and dear to your heart. Especially... when you grow older, you get, you know, get responsibilities. You're not able to hold near and dear friendships that you had from years past, and you go your separate ways. But it's always good that you could find your way back. And yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing that you could still have friendships that we have. And it's I have to say that he's one individual that. Although he's younger than me, that I've looked up to him because of the way he's held himself together for so many years, and been a responsible man, and been even a great father, even from our humble beginnings. So big shout out to my boy Slow, aka Smrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr I hope you guys are able to appreciate that as well, that you guys are able to hold near and dear your friendships that you can. So, guys, as always, I am the Norm MacDonald of this segment, and this is your wrestling rundown, and as always, here's your news. So, this past week, we have learned that Matt Cardona is in the world of fucking indie bullshit. Looks like our guy, formerly known as Zack Ryder, is also an individual who likes to do indie bullshit and have wrestling spots with kids. Yep. This past week at an indie promotion, Matt Cardona took a hurricanrana from a 12-year-old girl. Yeah. Why? Why are we doing this? What's the point? Why are we taking hurricanranas from children? You know, and I always, like I said, I don't always 100% agree with Cornette, especially when it comes to the modern stuff, because I said, you know what, sometimes you got to give a little pass because wrestling has evolved or devolved, but it's, at the end of the day, you got to give the fans what they want. Not all the time, but sometimes. And in this instance, you're basically just saying that anybody could be a wrestler. I'm a fan of stand-up comedy, and not everybody can get in front of a fucking audience and get on that mic and tell jokes. I'm sorry to tell you guys. It's not that easy. And the same should be held accountable for wrestling. Not everybody should be doing, should do wrestling. Especially someone's fucking kid. Apparently this was the promoter's kid. And they, yeah, they just said, fuck it, let's have this spot going on. Why?
Good Lord, 91. That's awesome.
Also on this week's news, we have Becky Lynch discusses her thoughts on AEW's women division. And apparently during a conversation with a local, with a website, she discusses what her thoughts about it. And I got to give it to her and Seth. They hold strong with their belief in showing their loyalty to the company. And basically, it's either you could take it as a work or you could take it as a shoot. You could take it whatever you want. But at the end of the day, she says, I'm not a fan of how they book them. And I believe that WWE has the strongest women's division. And that's what they're supposed to do. As, listen, if you played for the fucking Giants, you're not going to sit there and say that, wow, I would love to play for the Cowboys. When you're on free agency, then you could say that, but you're not a free agent. She also mentioned about how they're booking them over there and they're not basically taking any acknowledgement and any monetization of how they are being used. I agree with that. Does AEW have a stock full of talent? Wouldn't say stock, but if you're going to say, do they have a lot of WWE talent that actually can work? Yeah, they do. So why not use them to the best of their abilities? You have them in mediocre or nonsensical matches. I mean, what's the purpose? What's the reasoning? Why are we doing this? But I agree with her. I believe that AEW should be using them more effectively, more in matches that deal with wrestling, and stop using them and pardon the expression, but slutting them out in fucking gimmick matches when you want to really showcase the fact that they can wrestle, not just be able to take fucking thumbtacks and a chair shot to the head. Have them fucking wrestle. Show that they're, before you elevate them to that level, show that these women can wrestle. Just because they were in the indies doesn't make them great. Listen, you got talent like Ruby Soho, you have Toni Storm, you have Thunder Rosa, you have Britt Baker, you have these women who not only went through the hollow holes of WWE and had some training, but you also have those that who actually knew, learned, and came through the ranks of wrestling and showed that they can prove themselves. Stop having them go into these gimmicky bullshit matches just to say that we're just as equal as men. No. Show us that you can wrestle. You got Serena Deeb. You had Hikaru Shida. You have women like that who are legitimate wrestlers and they have solid matches. But what did you do? You put them in a fucking a street fight, which, by the way, all right, let me take that back, because at least that match was a blow-off match, and that was done properly. There was a long-standing feud with them, and that was done properly. I get that. Okay, fine. Understandably, that worked. But as for the rest of them, you're not using them and showcasing their talents effectively. And I agree with what Becky said. Yes, you got to do something more to make them seem like they're going to be legitimate.
Stupid.
Did anybody see the Jimmy Uso video that was captured on the officer's cam when he was arrested for drunk driving? Apparently, Jimmy was so fucked up that he was aggressive and called the cop an asshole and such, even though the officer was trying to be as sympathetic and empathetic as possible. But, you know, what are you going to say to a drunk, right? Honestly. I mean, we all been there, right? Body cam shows the incident which occurred a little over a year ago, in which Jimmy Uso was pulled over for drunk driving. He had his mugshot taken and was released. Through it all, I believe he paid a fine and that was it. But yeah. Kind of sloppy, my guy. We wanna tighten up on that, right? Right? Okay. All right. So Jimmy.
You're a real idiot, you know that.
Chelsea Green was banned on Twitter for a sexy bathing suit pic. Don't worry, guys. You'll be okay. It's not going to be like that for long. Elon Musk has now taken over Twitter, so you'll be free to show your cooch, your dick, and your fucking titties everywhere if you want, because Elon Musk believes in freedom of speech. Freedom of showing your fucking cock whenever the fuck you want. This was basically would have been my forum to get on my voice box to discuss how much Twitter is going to be shit after this. But yeah, listen, if you guys want that, you want freedom of speech, you want all that shit. No, you know what? That's going to be a place for you. I never really liked Twitter anyway, so I was never really a big fan. That's why I have somebody else run our Twitter. But because A, I didn't know how to fucking run it, and B, I can care less on about how fucking Twitter runs. So, yeah, Chelsea was banned because of a bikini shot. I'm not sure whether or not, because I looked at the picture, I didn't see anything that I thought was negative. I didn't think anything was explicit. I thought it was fine. But, you know, to each his own, I guess, you know. Welcome to the world of Twitter, mates.
It's good. It's good. It's good to be the champion.
Next up, we have, this is kind of sad to hear, but in wrestling, we always get these stories, and I mean, what more can we do? The Inspiration has announced their retirement indefinitely for now from wrestling. The Inspiration, formerly known as the Iconics, are now done with wrestling, and they recently released a statement saying that they're done with Impact and they'll be done with wrestling indefinitely for some time. And kudos to them, because if you can make $100,000 a year each just doing fucking OnlyFans, more power to you, right? Right. Hey, Ray, what's up, my guy? Ray Raimundo. What's up, papa? Why fucking beat up your body when you could go on fucking OnlyFans and show titties? I wish I could. I ain't mad at them. Fuck it. Do what you got it, right?
18,000 people calling you an asshole.
Congratulations to Bray Wyatt and JoJo. They have recently announced their engagement. I thought they were already fucking married, but yeah, whatever.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
There was a rope break that recently occurred at a WWE UK event in which Bobby Lashley could have really gotten fucked up. This past week during a match with Drew McIntyre, there was a spot in which Lashley hit the ropes and took a spill because the rope broke. Luckily for him, he didn't fall too badly onto the floor and was able to continue the match, in which Drew won for the hometown crowd of the UK. Thank you. Thank you guys for loving the fact that Drew won and that fucking Bobby didn't kill himself. It was like he took a spill for you guys. So congratulations to everyone in around. Good looking forever. And Bobby, nice job.
You know what? You just made the list.
Athena, formerly known as Ember Moon, discussed in a recent interview for a podcast that she remembers having sitting in a meeting in which the executives of NXT and WWE were discussing on how women should dress and their attire. Many of the higher ups there believe that the women should dress in, yeah, in a more seductive and sexy way. Angel, yeah, they should change it to that, but Vince is such an old school guy, he won't change to the cables. He'll just cheat, he'll keep the ropes, because yeah, that's how he believes WWE should run. He likes the look. Any case, Athena said that she was wholeheartedly against it, where she mentioned she was like, why would I dress that way, where my I am a wrestler who caters to kids, I shouldn't dress that way. This only happens when John Laurinaitis is in charge. I'm telling you, this only happens when he's in charge. He's like the quintessential perv. He is the Vince Russo of the era. Mind you, if you have not heard the stories, this is the guy who was the forerunner for the Divas division, and he was the one that sat there and looked up who should be wrestlers by looking through Sports Illustrated and FHM magazines to find women's wrestlers. None of them had a lick of stitch of fucking talent or any understanding of what wrestling is, but apparently he felt as though, yeah, we should sign these women. So whenever John Laurinaitis is around and involved, he will give you the we need more sex appeal in the women's division. So what they want is more women dressed like Mandy. Right.
Your face looks like my nuts, except you got a hairier bush.
This is a hard one to discuss, because I actually met the man and I've spoken to him numerous times, and kind of sucks that this is happening. But Chris Dickerson, indie wrestler, also associated with ROH and many other indie promotions such as Game Changer Wrestling, apparently has been outed on social media as a man who is an abuser. Recently tweeted on social media by Christina Von Erie, former lover of his, mentioned of his abusive ways during their relationship. It became physical, mental, and emotional, so much so that she started doubting herself that she can be a wrestler. Apparently, Dickerson would critique her wrestling, laugh at her, and joke on her expense about her wrestling prowess, and was also very physically abusive in the household. Another woman came out on Twitter recently to announce that she too was a victim of Dickerson's abuse. So, yeah, this doesn't look good for the man. Like I said, don't know him. I know him. I've met him. I've spoken to him. You know, we had a good conversation or something, but don't know him personally. Like, we had beers and hung out. Like, he came to my house and shit. But it kind of sucks to hear this kind of shit, because this is a guy who has, for years, had potential to possibly be something. And you only hope that this isn't true. But yeah, when you start to hear a lot of these stories about these motherfuckers in wrestling and how they treat their women, and a lot of these stories are getting confirmed true, this cancel culture shit, it's could be warranted, man. In some of the cases, it's warranted. The only thing that troubled me about this story was the fact that she was upset, and it was emotional damage that he critiqued her wrestling. And I'm like, everybody gets critiqued. Everybody gets criticized. And who better than people who love you or closest to you to tell you whether or not you suck or not. But other than that, if the physical and other than the emotional and mental abuse was there, then outside of the ring, that's very problematic. And that's bullshit. But we'll see how this goes. We'll keep an eye on that later on down the line.
You ain't even half a dog. You just a little piece of shih tzu.
Yeah, Jason, seriously. A lot of these guys are fucking weirdos. They are. And then a lot of them have this ultra machismo kind of fucking mentality, and they need to check themselves. But you know, what the fuck? What do I know? WWE has announced that on their upcoming UK tour, for the pay-per-views and such, they, one of the announcements that's going to be that, pay-per-view will be the WWE Clash at the Castle. I wouldn't say that's stereotypical. I would say that's, cliche, since it's England and battle for the British could have been something like, I don't know, London. I don't know. I would have thought that it would have been something not catered to that kind of cliche kind of, but this is WWE, of course. They're in fucking Saudi Arabia and they call it Crown Jewel. So, yeah, I guess. So the upcoming event, for WWE in the UK, their pay-per-view is called Clash of the Castles. I guess. I don't know. All right.
Feel like I'm watching one of my movies because this whole damn thing sucks.
I don't know if you guys are sad to hear this, but apparently Riddle and his wife have divorced. It's a sad case. Did we not see the writings on the wall for this, ladies and gentlemen? Did we not know that this was going to happen? We had heard during the past couple of years that there was some problems there, and then we had the incident of another one of sexual allegations against Riddle and such, abuse in case. And after 11 years, he and his wife had parted ways in their divorce. So it was actually a fucking tweet that went out recently of him on a date. And it was like, I guess he didn't take the divorce very hard, right? All right. Good job, Riddle. Good job. Speaking of relationships, apparently what was released this past week was that Rhea Ripley and Buddy Matthews are dating. Jesus Christ, those are two individuals that should not have children. My God, can you imagine how great looking they will be? Fuck. Fuck. Those two people should not have kids. I already said last week that fucking Scarlett and Killer Cross, who recently got married, they're going to have some fucking splendid looking children. But these two fucks, God damn. The fuck? I think my time has come. I luckily, I'm not having any more kids, but shit. There'll be nowhere near that I could create the beautiful child that I created now, that I can do it again. It's impossible. I don't think I could ever have that happen again. That's why I stood at one. These fuckers, they're going to have if they have kids, they're going to have a plethora of beautiful wrestling kids who are tall and have muscles everywhere. Jesus Christ. You shouldn't even link up with each other. You guys should just date fucking fans. Fuck.
I am the best in the world at what I do.
Willie Mack is no longer with Impact. His contract with Impact has wound down, and it seems as though he is done with the company. AEW is always hiring, sir. Just saying. Ring of Honor, maybe. Who knows? But yeah, Willie Mack is done with Impact, and not for nothing, but I would probably like to see him in an NXT kind of role. I think he fits perfectly there. Especially after what happened recently. But other than that, I don't think he'll be short for any jobs. I think he'll be able to find work elsewhere. And good luck to him, and I hope everything works well.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Dark Side of the Ring has not been renewed for a fourth season. Seems as though the controversial program about wrestling has come to the end of its material, maybe, Or is it the fact that the complaints and controversies that have shaken up the show has possibly derailed its progression? The producers of the show says that they're looking forward to doing other projects and other things about wrestling. But as for the program itself, it seems as though that it does not look like it'll be getting legs anywhere else, which is unfortunate. But I also think the time was coming, not only because of the pushback he was getting from the wrestling community in for the most part, but also I think the material was going to start running thin and there wasn't going to be much to go on from here on out. So Dark Side of the Ring looks like we'll be no more, right? From the happy world of Twitter, once again, looks like there's some individuals who just can't stay off of it and keep their nose out of bullshit. Nia Jax was recently on Twitter making proclamations about certain individuals in management as well as female wrestlers after the releases that occurred. Her post basically inclined that women wrestlers are kept on board because of their favors that they do for upper management, and also indicating that some of the women blackball others just to save their spot and position within the company. There have been numerous individuals, especially those in social media, who have said that this is just a woman who's just bitter because you couldn't get over the fact that you just got released because you weren't good. As per Wrestling Inc., the tweet goes, "It's a shame that some people deserve to get the opportunity to shine like the star that they really are. But unfortunately, certain higher ups can never see past their own perverted ways. Too bad they aren't the lucky ones who can't use blackball to keep their jobs." Random tweet. Can be blackmailed to keep their jobs. Meaning that someone was telling you that if you didn't do this, you could keep your job. Or was it the fact that it's just honestly you suck? Even though your family is a legacy in wrestling. Just suck. Now, I'm just saying this because that's my perception of what happened with her, but you know, I don't work in the back, so I don't know. So maybe there was something there, but I just think that it's many instances to where you still have friends and people you consider family on the roster who are still there, and I don't know. Maybe they just maybe you're putting their job at risk, or maybe you are, I don't know, the kooky one out of everybody. Who the fuck knows? And speaking of kooky, the other individual in the world of Twitter who probably just needs to just fucking go away for a little while is, of course, Ryback. What the fuck happened to this dude? This guy goes on a tirade about Vince McMahon, and what he mentions, Vince McMahon, like most promoters, has an insatiable urge to have control. He had no control watching his mom get beat up as a child, which is horrendous thing for a kid to witness as their whore mom tries to make ends meet. Vince has failed to evolve. Fuck you, old man. He goes on to defend these tweets when individuals who commented on them and said this needs to be said, and he doubled down to say that there'll be more comments coming from him about the man. Another individual, just bitter, bitter, bitter. This dude can't even fucking get booked to help open up a car dealership, but yet he really, really believes that he is the be all and end all of all wrestling. What the fuck? Another one. What the fuck happened to this dude? The creatine is just fucking rotting his brain. Allegedly. He's allegedly taking creatine. Allegedly. Seriously, dudes. Some of you guys need to fucking stay off of fucking Twitter and social media and all. No. It's better not, because Elon Musk is going to make sure that your fucking words are going to be heard, regardless of the fact of how fucking kooky and crazy you are. Right. So for the main event, ladies and gentlemen, we are discussing the recent releases that occurred with WWE NXT. We had Paige Persephone. We have Serena George, Raylan Devine, Mila Milani. We have Draco Anthony. We have Persia Parada, Harlan, and the two big ones that many people were not happy with, which was Dakota Kai and Loomis, Dexter Loomis. As for the rest, I'm like, I could see that happening. Harlan was, I feel bad for him because he had to cut his hair, cut his face. They try to disassociate him because he looked somewhat like Brock Lesnar, but they really did their best to disconnect that kind of correlation. But apparently his progression in wrestling was not going as well as they thought it would be, so they released him. As for the rest, some of them were already in storylines, and now they have to obliterate that. They have to get rid of those and blow it up. But the two that was on many individuals' minds was Dakota Kai and Dexter Lumis, as well as Michael Bivins. Malcolm Bivins. Malcolm Bivins is going to be fine. It's a great mouthpiece. Most likely, he'll find his way in anywhere he wants. He'll be an Impact, be it a Ring of Honor, AEW. He'll be fine. And it'll work for him even better if he goes back to Ring of Honor somewhat. So that's a good look for him. As for Loomis and Dakota and Bivins did not want to re-sign a contract in February. He just stood on board to continue the storyline. And when the time was right, that's when he was released. Same could be said for Dakota. Dakota had mentioned and said that she didn't want to resign as well. She wanted to do other things, and it worked out for the best. And I get that. As for Dexter Lumis, I said, honestly, I think he needed a new look, a new gimmick. I think he needed to get away from that creepy kind of guy look. I like the gimmick that he had going with in Impact that worked best for him. And I think he's a talented dude. And I think somewhere, somehow, he will find a place in another promotion as well. And the kid is talented. He's a fucking artist. He can fucking draw his ass off. So I think he'll find his place somewhere else. So other than that, I'm not upset with these releases, because these releases makes sense to me. I know a lot of people were like, damn, again with these fucking releases. And I'm like, no, these actually make sense. I get that. I just hate the bullshit when you're talking about, well, you know it's all about budget cuts. And it's like, no. This one matters. They need to thin out the herd a little bit. Just stop signing bullshit. That's all I can say. Stop signing the bullshit. Yeah, Jason, I can see that. I can see Harlan going to MLW. That works for him as a core bower. Well, have a spot for him. I think it works. Other than that, like I said, the
The cuts this time around, I don't object to it. I think it makes sense, and I believe that maybe along down the line, especially with a guy like Loomis and Dakota, they'll find a way back one way one time or another. It was said that Vince was not keen on bringing Dakota up to the main roster because he didn't believe that she was ready, but Vince could be 50-50 with his fucking judgment, right? So, all right, guys, when we come back, we're going to have Around the Square Circle for you guys who've been following on the Facebooks and on the Twitters and the YouTube. Thank you for partaking and be a part of it. Thank you guys for your time. And make sure you download and stream the episodes later on during the week. So thank you guys for partaking. Guys, don't go anywhere who are listening to the podcast. We'll be back. Check you guys in a sec.
Bring the in-ring action home to your tabletop with the number one wrestling card game in the world, Super Show the Game, and live all your wildest wrestling fantasies without ever taking a chair shot. Available on supershowthegame.com. Order today and join a spectacle so grand it can only be called the Super Show.
This is Devontae, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloids.
Around the Square Circle. What we watch, what we listen to, what we partook in this past week in wrestling. What can I say? What I listened to in podcasting. Listening to Cornette this week. He discussed how a listener asked a question about title belts and how they were handled when traveling. Did wrestlers have to make a deposit on them just in case they were lost, damaged, or stolen? He discussed the marijuana policy in WWE and why there's no wrestling union, because someone asked Brooke Hogan why there's no wrestling union, and she had no idea why there wasn't one, when in all actuality, it's because of her father, who, when Jesse Ventura was planning to get all the guys together to put up a union after realizing how much money Vince was making, this is during WrestleMania 2, I believe, around that time, and he knew that this was the right time to start pushing for a wrestling union. Hogan went and stooged on Jesse and the rest of the guys about this because it wouldn't benefit Hogan, because Hogan knew that he was the flagship of the company. So being in a union wouldn't help him a diddy. So he told Vince on it about what was going on, and Jesse got the axe and was fired. So, yeah. Good job, Brooke. Why would she know? Wrestling Bios this week did a review of WWE Raw 2 on Xbox. I've never played the game. I don't remember playing a lot of Xbox, the first generation game console. I don't remember playing a lot of those games at all. Maybe two or three ever. Wasn't an Xbox fan at the time, but apparently this was a fun game creatively. So that was one to look at and be interested in. If I was able to get a modded Xbox or something like that, I would probably want that. What else did we have? MLW had a intimidation games. They had a triple threat match between Jacob Fatu, Alexander Hammerstone, and Kruger, who they were wrestling for the championship. There was a lot going on in MLW this week. It was actually a good show, so you guys should check those guys out there. So, while we're at it, let's just get into Raw, ladies and gentlemen. opened up with celebrating 20 years of Randy Orton. It was a big, you know, it's a celebration of Randy Orton, but then it's also, hey, you know, we want to get all the fucking stars, the faces and the heels, the big name faces and heels out so we could set something up for a match later on. Cody came out. Randy gave him a big hug, seeing as though that, you know, they have history together, legacy and such like that. So this was his way of welcoming him back. Then out came Seth Rollins, talked some trash. Ezekiel and Kevin Owens ended up joining the party as well. And then all of a sudden the Usos. And then we get a main event match that's going to happen later on tonight. Yeah. We get Bianca Belair versus Sonya Deville for the Raw Women's Championship. This was a match that went in three different layers because each time something happened and Deville would get disqualified, we get a restart of the match with a new stipulation, blah, blah, blah. Through and all, I didn't think it was a bad match. I thought it was okay. Sonya, I think, has to... since she's been out of the ring for some time a little bit, it looks like she needs to get some a little bit more ring work in to get her back to her old state. But I'm still confused on why Carmella and Zelina are still a team. Weren't they like broken up? I don't know. We get Veer versus Sam Smothers. That was a pretty much a squash match, right? And then we get Amos versus Bobby Lashley in the, of course, the typical arm wrestling match. Ugh. Filler. I'm not even gonna go there with that shit. We get a mixed tag match with Reggie and Dana versus Tamina and Akira Tozawa. Yeah, I'm not going there with that shit. I'm not even entertaining that fuckery. Becky Lynch comes out and cuts a promo. She's always fire. I'm, you know, people are conflicted on what about her new look and such. Trying, you know, some of them are saying that she's a gimmick of herself, but it's fucking wrestling, bro. What the fuck do you think she's gonna be? I think she looks great. And then with the return of Asuka hitting at the right time, I think it was perfect. Perfect. We get Finn Balor versus Damian Priest. This I'm hoping this leads to either Finn joining Edge and Priest or Finn and AJ teaming up to build the club and we'll get some kind of faction war here. Listen, a lot of people go, oh, now WWE wants to do factions. Listen, if you have to look at the other product to help have some realization in your, you know, company in which the fan base would want to see, like, some gang warfare shit, fuck it. I mean, whatever. Everybody has to fucking... you know, learn from each other, steal whatever fucking tools that they have from each other. It's like Jay always says, you make it a hot line, I made it a hot song. So, you know, and I've always said factions bring money. People would buy faction merchandise. It's a hot commodity, guys. I mean, honestly. This match was a good match, was a fun match. I'm just like, can we get Finn get a win somewhere around here, guys? I know that rhymed, but it was funny, you know, how it worked. We get The Miz with Miz TV, and I guess this is conversation with Mustafa Ali. After that, we get a match, and well, excuse me, it wasn't Miz TV. It was from the backlash that occurred at Miz TV. So we get a match with Miz TV. These two guys in the ring, it's spot on. It's good to see Mustafa with the comeback. After the match, we get an appearance from now known as Ciampa, ladies and gentlemen. Ciampa is now on the main roster, so let's see how that goes. And finally, we have the main event. We have the bunch of motherfuckers versus another bunch of motherfuckers. We have the 8-man tag, Cody Rhodes, Ezekiel, and RK-Bro versus Seth, Kevin, and the Usos. Fun match as well. A lot of spots. Everybody hits their spots. Blah, blah, blah. All fun. Fine and dandy. And, of course, the good guys win this one. Really strong match. Raw started off a little weak, but actually gained up momentum towards the end. Wasn't bad. Overall, it was meh, but still a lot better than a lot of shit that Raw has given us in the past few months. So can't be too mad at Raw this week. Leading up to AEW Dynamite. AEW Dynamite, we kick it off with the Owen Hart Foundation Men's Tournament Qualifier, Dax Harwood versus Cash Wheeler. At first, I'm like, why are we doing this? Then, you know, Dax and Cash said, you know, they wanted to have this match. I had said in a prior episode, I said, if you're going to do this match, it should have been during the tournament, not as a qualifier. Because I would have loved to have seen these guys meet up during the tournament. You know, that would have been, it would have been cool. But all in all, this match was a match, another one that played the CM Punk card, where they played homage to Bret Hart. A lot of the stuff that he had done in previous matches were complimented here. Was a really good match, but at the end, it's like you go into that thing. It's like, and CM Punk even mentioned it in commentary. It's like you're actually causing damage to your partner. You're hurting your partner. Why would you want to have this match? It's you know, you have to do title defenses later on down the line. Even at the end, about to go into this, the sharpshooter, where Cash was showing his injury. Dax was going to set him up with the sharpshooter, or was it vice versa? Some shit. Yeah, it was that way. And Brett did the same to Owen at the same time, but he wasn't able to. You know, he couldn't put himself to do it. So finally, it was a roll up, and then Dax. It was able to reverse the roll up and get the win. So Dax gets the spot in the Owen Hart tournament. Next up, we get a trios match with Blackpool Combat Club versus The Factory. And I'm going, fuck again. We are trying to put over this fucking guy. And how are we putting over Yuta Wheeler? I would just fucking change his name every fucking time I get to. Yula Wheeler. how is it that we're going to do this? We're going to have him beat down on the biggest fucker on the Factory's team. We're going to have him beat down on Nick Camarado, right? We're going to have him do, and we're going to believe that he could do this and then beat him on a fucking roll up. Fuck this match all around. I know that he his fucking, he was in his hometown and show him love and shit. But Jesus, I mean, let's get it over with this bullshit. Stop. Next up, we get Lance Archer versus Wardlow. I'm loving the build up with Wardlow. I'm a fan of this. now to have a match with Lance Archer makes a whole lot of sense. I'm total on board with the fact that Wardlow and Archer, although it probably could have went later on down the line, we could have had a match like this, but for this to happen here, it was fun. See these two guys go at it. Really good match for me. And I'm super, you know, excited every time we were about to see the Powerbomb Symphony. And it was good to see that Archer put Wardlow over for the win. We get the Jericho Appreciation Society having a one-to-one sit-down with Eddie Kingston and Santana Ortiz. Meh. Filler fucking bullshit. Listen, I'm going to keep saying it till the fucking cows come home. I would prefer to see Daniel Garcia with Blackpool Combat Club than fucking Wheeler Yuta. I'm sorry. He fits better in that crew. I don't get it. We get the Philly Street Fight with Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb. Wasn't bad. It was okay. I thought there was one spot that Serena snuck to throw, like she was sneaking to throw powder in Hikaru Shida's face, and I'm going, are you sneaking that so that the ref doesn't see you, because it's no DQ match, or are you sneaking so that Hikaru Shida doesn't see you do it? I was a little confused there, but nonetheless, match was fine. Serena gets the win here. It was all right. 10-man tag match. We get everybody versus everybody. You get the Young Bucks, Ultimate Elite, Undisputed Elite, versus Dante Martin, the Varsity Blondes, Lee Johnson, and Brock Anderson. And woof, did this fucking match stink to hell. Oh, God. Oh, we tried our damnedest to be fucking spot monkeys on spot monkeys, and Brock Anderson just does not look like he kind of looks like his dad trying to fucking tag with the Rock and Roll Express or some shit like that. Like, it looks awkward. It looks weird. And I love hearing Raw's call fucking Lee Johnson shoddy. That shit is fucking hilarious. Lastly, we get, for the main event, we get Sammy Guevara. After we had seen, I believe it was the attack on Santana Ortiz and Eddie Kingston, where Jericho threw the fireball in fucking Eddie's eyes, which that's going to be interesting. Also, in the same time, too, in the show, we also had that during the commercial break, fucking House of Black attempted to unmask Fuego del Sol. Then we saw a shadowy figure in the ring. Turns out to be the return of Rey Fénix. Yay! And that spot was fucking weird also. They had like an awkward fucking exchange in there. So finally, we get the ladder match between Scorpio Sky and Sammy Guevara for the TNT Championship. He almost killed himself. I'm talking about Sammy a couple of times in this match. And it's just not worth it, kid. It's really not worth it. It's not. He crashes. Fucking almost looks like he hurts himself. You cut to a commercial break, and it's like, what? And like, you didn't even like it even register that to play the you know that you're hurt for a little while longer, because it builds up the drama. But no, he's right back on his feet doing shit. I'm like, whatever. Scorpio gets the win here with this really preposterous storytelling. You had two individuals. You had a heel faction that was getting booed out of the building, and now all of a sudden they played the face, because you got two fucking people who are less than desirable. And mind you, like I said, as a heel, that's what you're supposed to be. But when it comes to more than just the gimmick that you are, that it's coming off really as though, like, wow, these fucking people are douchey as shit. It's like, yeah. It almost seems as though that really in the locker room that they're fucking assholes. Like, you get that sense, like, you know, go home, go away with this bullshit. Nobody wants to fucking see this fucking display of this sluttiness. Like, who cares? But they get the win. Scorpio Sky gets the win, and that closes out Dynamite. Leads us to Friday Night SmackDown. SmackDown! Opening up with the steel cage match between Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn. Fun match here. Sami's just so good, man. Sami Zayn is just... When you have him being the Weasley kind of heel and, you know, fighting his way out of being demolished by a monster like Drew McIntyre, it's always fun to see. Great spots in the match. Didn't really have to engage too much with the steel cage, but even still, like I said, fun match to watch for anyone to get into, especially for the opening match that you start off the show with. Drew gets the win here, and It was a pretty much quick blow off. We had Drew Gulak is now auditioning or interviewing for different spots in the show. So this week he was the guest timekeeper. Other than that, good fun match. We had happy talk with Corbin happened. Too much of these fucking shows, Jesus. This segment was brought to you by Bullshit, due in part because of the Andre the Giant trophy and how Happy Corbin was going to destroy that trophy. Are we done with this Happy Corbin shit? Can we just get Baron Corbin back? I mean, I appreciate the guy who embraces whatever gimmick you give him and he fucking takes it to town. Love it. But can we get the badass fucking dude again who could come and tear shit up? So, we come to find out during the segment that one of the movers that were there was actually Madcap Moss and was able to unleash his wrath on Corbin. And Madcap is a face. Yay. We get Intercontinental Championship match between Ricochet and Shanky. This was meh match. Ricochet gets the win here, and it looks like we're planting the seeds of separation between Jinder and Shanky. Does this mean that Shanky and Veer get together? Isn't that the the logical thing to do, or is it just stereotypical? I guess. By the way, fucking McAfee on this show this week was hilarious. So much so that I think he broke Cole, I think, two or three times during the show, that he fucking had Cole laughing out of character. So fucking McAfee's fucking gold. This week we also saw the debut of Raquel Rodriguez, and we had a WrestleMania contract signing. Raquel decimated Kat Cortesana or Cordenza, whatever the fuck her name is. She was known as Layla Gray in the indies. That was a quickie. Then we get a contract signing between RK-Bro and the Usos to unify the tag championships, but Roman intervenes and begins to do the pounding on them, but then Drew McIntyre steps in. And now it's a six-man tag for nothing. No unification. Nothing. So, okay. And now I guess they're not unifying the titles. Well, we'll see. We get Naomi versus Shayna Baszler and a fairly decent match. Can we not Can we just have fucking Shayna become this powerhouse? I know she got the win here, but can we just have her be like the powerhouse? Can we get her to be the badass that she's supposed to be? I mean, I like it. It's the Queen of Hearts and the Queen of Spades with Natalya and such and Shayna. I get that, but can we get Shayna to be Shayna on her own and just get her to start tearing shit up? Then we get New Day with I've been calling them the Bowery Boys, fucking Sheamus and Rich Holland, because we have yet to find out where the fuck is Butch. Now they're calling him Shake It Sheamus, which the crowd was all over in that shit. Xavier Woods beats Rich Holland with the Backwoods, which is his new roll-up win. And after that, we get Kofi versus Sheamus. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. It's just a little bit too much. Then we get the Beat the Cock Challenge. Ronda had to face Shotzi, where Aaliyah faced Charlotte. Rousey beats Shotzi in 1:41. And then Aaliyah was in the figure eight, but did not tap out within the time. And the special timekeeper, fucking Drew Gulak, I guess this is the way that we're going to have it. So this is where apparently this was his fault that this happened. And Charlotte began to, do Charlotte things until Rousey came in to separate the issue, so situation. So that, I guess that finished up SmackDown, right? And then we'll finally close it out with AEW Rampage. AEW Rampage, the show that made me go, oof. I had hope. I had hope for this because the opening match was Darby Allin versus Swerve Strickland. And I enjoyed this very much. I have to say, Sting didn't really get involved in this. I thought that Swerve looked really good in this match. And Darby, as always, Darby fucking serves it, man. That was a spot that... he does his dive outside the ring, but Swerve was able to counter it with a kick, and he took that shit, and it looked fantastic. Great match all around. Darby gets the win, but because of a distraction by Ricky Starks. All in all, great match. Darby even says that later on that they could go another 5 minutes, and Strickland's like, nah, man, you got it. Don't worry, I'm hoping you win it, but, you know, we'll see each other later on down the line, which is a great, great closing to that for now. Awesome, awesome match. Then it went to Jade Cargill and the Baddies versus Nightingale, Willow Nightingale, Blue Sky, and Sky Blue, sorry, and Adora, whoever the hell she was. And, let's move on by past that, because that fucking sucked. We get Keith Lee versus Colton Gunn, and I'm like, why are we having this match? Why did this occur? If it's just to enhance Keith Lee, fine, I get it. But okay, not to take anything away from Colton Gunn. Colton Gunn is actually a talented kid, but I think there's a lot more that could be done with this. Keith Lee gets the win here, and at least it wasn't a squash match, right? Finally, we get Samoa Joe versus Trent Barreta for the ROH TV title. I've always been a fan of Trent. I always think Trent Barreta is a talented dude, and he showed it and displayed it here on this night. It was a battle, and for it to be for the ROH title, TV title makes a lot of sense. Both men had had a lot of momentum going in, especially for Trent, because this was his way to prove himself that he is the face of the Best Friends, and it was on display here. So shout out to Trent and Samoa for this match. Samoa gets the win here. And for you guys who wanted my thoughts about the Hook and Danhausen thing, I don't really give a shit. I don't care. I like Danhausen. I think he's a funny gimmick. Hook hasn't grown on me yet. I understand his appeal. I know the kids like him. I know that the ladies like him. He's a brooding, emo type kind of kid. And he has potential, but he hasn't grown on me yet. But now that Tony Nese is in the mix, Tony Nese is a guy that we know for a long time. It's good to see that he gets some kind of looks with AEW these days, especially on Rampage. So that's going to wrap up AEW Rampage as well as Turnbuckle Tabloid for this week's episode. Make sure you check us out on all social media outlets. Check us out on the like and group page on Facebook. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at Turnbuckle Tab as well as on Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. And also check us out on YouTube, Twitch, as well as on TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Also, be sure you check us out all the podcasting outlets. Check us out at RageWorksNetwork.com as well as at RageWorks.net. And to close out this week's episode, just a tidbit from me. Like I mentioned earlier this week, was able to catch up with a good friend of mine I haven't spoken to. We haven't hung out like we used to for some time now. Was able to catch up with him, and like I mentioned before, if you're able to still hold near and dear friendships in your life with individuals that you know. You grew together. You guys have formed a bond, and you know shit like that happens to where you grow up, get responsibilities. You know you got shit you got to do. But if you're able to forge and find each other again, and just you know kick it, have a beer, have a glass of wine, talk shop, take advantage of them times. Because like I always said, you know those times don't last long, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you never know when the moments can be gone. So appreciate those moments. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Much to do. I have to do some work with Super Producer Selly and as well as go play on my PS5. So, guys, I'm out of here. Love you. Check you guys later. Take a bump. We out of here. Laters.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.